fabulous conference preacher, fabulous Bible teacher. Anything I've ever heard Brother Larry Booker perform for the Lord has always been par excellent. The anointing of the Holy Ghost drips off of him and it flows out into the congregation. Heard a lot of good preachers, but it barely made it to the edge of the pulpit. I like it when a preacher reaches the back corners, not just with the tenor of his voice or the volume of his expressions or the imagination of his voice inflections, but with the anointing that God has given him. Brother Larry Booker always touches every heart in the room. The hardest of heart, I've seen them break. Others I've seen shake. And I've seen them get so mad that they run away, but their heart was touched. From Rialto, California, a friend of Alabama Revival Conference, no stranger to the move of God, Brother Larry Booker, we're so glad you're here. Come and take your liberty.
Well, let's give the Lord a wonderful hand clap. God, we love you, Jesus. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a mighty God. What a mighty God. It is so great to be here tonight and to feel such a great presence of the Lord. And I do believe God wants to help us. I believe he wants to be and do a lot of things in a lot of hearts tonight. I really mean that. I really mean that. And we know we are the people of the end time. We are the people of the people of the end of the end of the end. Upon whom the ends of the world have come. And we're seeing the closing days of a dispensation of grace. And I don't know what all the world's got in store. I'd be a fool if I told you I knew what all God had in store. But I can promise you this. He didn't start this thing with a boom and a bam on the day of Pentecost for this thing to go out whimpering. It's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. I don't know what the future holds, but I'm going to tell you this. God is evermore going to have a church alive and well. He is going to have a church alive and well. That's not even subject for discussion. If there is a subject, it would be, are we going to be in it? Well, I hope you settled that a long time ago too. Live, die, sink, or swim. Come trouble or woe, sorrow or no. Yeah, we're going to be in this thing. We're here to stay. Amen. Now, before we go to the Word of God, in fact, we'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I do want to say thank you very deeply for the invitation to be here. I do not take it lightly at all. And to rub shoulders with these good men is a high honor. It's a high honor. And to hear the word of the Lord, I so apologize for getting in so late last night. I so apologize. But I'm so thankful for what I've got since I've been here. I will leave by far the richer, I'm telling you. One last little thing. I'm so embarrassed. I didn't get off a plane. I should have, as I said this morning. And so I ended up in a city I shouldn't have been, where there wasn't a plane coming to Birmingham. I I learned a lesson from that. You got to know when to get on and you got to know when to get off. Praise God. And I did something more stupid than that. As I was leaving my house, 4 something in the morning, I was leaving my house and I was taking the bags to the truck and I stopped in the vestibule. And I knew I'm forgetting something. I just had that feeling, you know? You just had that. And I stopped, literally, and I started working my way through my stuff. Got your messages. Yeah. If I got more messages than I'm going to preach. I just wanted to make sure, you know? And I got... your suits, got your socks, got deodorant. Is that good? Yeah. And I'm walking my way through. Anyway, when I got to my room last night, I forgot my Bible. I'm more embarrassed about that than staying on that plane. How stupid for a preacher to forget his Bible. God, I don't even know what to say. So, this morning, what kind of Bible you got there? That's a nice Bible. That's big print. Borrowed my dear brother's Bible this morning. That was beautiful. People thought, boy, he's got a nice Bible. And so I told Zach, my cadet, he's asked me 25 times probably. Yeah, a lot. Is anything like anything in here? I said, fine. I said, Zach, yes, I need a Bible. Can you get me a Bible for church now? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So he brought me a Gideon Bible. But it's a Bible. It's a Bible. It's the Word of God. Wherever you got it, Zach, please take it back. We want to leave a good impression here. So, but it's the Word of God, and I thank God for it. I mean that. So, first time I've ever preached out of a Gideon Bible. But that's cool. That's cool. And I only got one verse anyway. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, one verse, which is not usually my style. Verse 22, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. So am I. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we're asking for the moving of your Spirit through your word into the depths of our souls. God, touch us, each and every single one of us. We're asking you, Lord, plainly, we make no if, ands, or buts about it, God. We want a spirit of glorious revelation. Please, God, to explode in our every single heart and soul and mind. We're in the closing hours of this dispensation as we see it and understand it. Lord God, by your grace, move as you have desired, so desired to move through the hearts and lives of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you so very, very much. You may be seated. Thank you for the very kind introduction, Brother Wilbanks, and the very kind actions of everybody since I've been here. It's very, I mean, look at that. Is that kind or what? I don't want to torment you, but I need this. Very good. The Apostle Paul you read of his life, you read of the churches he started, you read of the epistles he wrote, the events which are penned to us, of which we know are just but a light sketch at its best, compared to everything that came that man's way and everything that he did. But we find in what we do have that this man, everywhere and every way it seemed that he turned, his life was opposed. On the day he repented, or in the days he repented of his sin, when Ananias came and the day he was baptized, the Lord spoke to Ananias, the disciple of Jesus, who spoke to Saul of Tarsus, and how great things he would have to suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And up until the day that he died suffering for that name. And his entire life, he faced adversaries. He would speak of them. 5 times he was beaten with 40 stripes, save one. 3 times they beat him with rods. A day and a night he spent in the deep. He suffered shipwrecks 3 times. He was in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness. He was in perils of even false brethren. And perils means perils. They were perilous, treacherous people that attacked him. The Jewish communities, many of which where he went in to start a church, were not exactly excited to see him coming, to put it mildly. And on and on and on and on and on. In this letter that he's now penning, the second epistle, to the Corinthians, and he had to deal with this church in the first letter very severely, so much so, and on so many subjects, that he stated in the second epistle that he was determined, I'm not going to, if I can paraphrase, get on your case anymore. Because I'm in the process, I'm doing this, making you unhappy, and you're the people supposed to make me happy, and how am I going to be made happy if you're miserable? And he said, I determine. But they had more problems than a run-over dog, and they were messed up 6 ways from Sunday, and so he kept trying to correct this church. The book of Corinthians is a great comfort for a 21st century pastor. It really is. You think you got problems, go to Corinthians. And you realize you ain't pastoring such a bad church after all. But now in this second epistle, he's also dealing with another factor that he dealt with oftentimes in other churches. It wasn't a new adversarial influence, but now he had to deal with it here as well. There were people that were coming into the area of Corinth, and they were trying to undermine the teachings of Paul, the writings of Paul, and to establish their credos, to establish their credentials as being apostles, etc., etc., etc. They would do so every way that they could, so that the people would accept their ministries and then their words, and then undermine the influence of the apostle to the Gentiles. And so Paul is trying to counteract this with them. And one of the things they were apparently using was the fact, look, we're Hebrews. We're from the stock of Abraham. We are Israelites. Therefore, we've got certain markets cornered. And now that we understand who Jesus is, ostensibly they are using this. And people say, ooh, you're Jewish. This is cool. Now, I don't want anybody to think that when I make a phrase like that, that's an anti-Jewish. I just found out about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe a little longer, that my grandmother on my mother's side was full-blooded Jewish. And their family moved from Germany in the late 1800s because of anti-Semitism that was in Germany then. And so they came to the United States. They were afraid of anti-Semitism when they got here. So they just said, we're Lutherans. They all claimed to be German Lutherans. And they were Jews. And they kept it well hid all through the years. They didn't go to the Lutheran church. They didn't go anywhere. They just were Lutherans. And then finally, my cousin, who is the historian for the family, she went to one of the men who was about to pass and said, I want to know, are the Schulers Jewish or not? And he said, yes. And he told her the story of what happened. So if I was anti-Semitic, I'd be a fool. Duh. But, so, I was asked one time by my son, before we ever knew that, he said, is there an advantage to being Jewish? Well, I've pastored Gentiles, I've pastored Jews, and all kinds of people from all kinds of nationalities. So I named some that were Jewish. He said, yes. I said, do you see an advantage? Next question. All right? It doesn't matter what your bloodline is. It's going to be what's in your heart. It's going to be where you are with God. That's the only thing. As far as God is concerned, there are only three classifications of people in the world. Amen. And Paul said, I don't want to offend either one of them. There's Jews, Gentiles, and the church of God. We are part of the third that God sees. Jews, Gentiles, but if you're in the church, you're in a classification all of your own. We are blood-bought, born again, one God, Jesus' name, apostolic, holiness-loving children of God. Hallelujah. That is the greatest personal claim in the universe today. I know Jesus, who He is. I'm called by His name, and I'm filled with His Spirit. So the Apostle Paul, he admitted, look, it's like childish for me to even play these games, to have to work this out with you, but bear with me in my folly, he states in the beginning of the book. And so he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they of the seed of Abraham? So am I. He could have said, me too. Me too. That's the title of my message I want to preach tonight. Me too. In fact, twice. Me too. Me too. God bless you. It's been good being here. No, I'm teasing. There is something about it as you look down through scriptural eras. Amen. And the heroes of the faith. And then the people who are not mentioned specifically in Hebrews 11. That plethora of people that drift up through the pages that is so beautiful and so touching. Brother Smith, the story about that little Jewish girl reading what we term the Old Testament. I like First Testament better. But reading the lives of Deborah, Barak and Jephthah, of David, of Samuel, and the prophets. And her relating to that. And recognizing an identity, stating, I want to be identified with these people. They are sublime. They're all human. There's no character in the Bible you cannot find fault with. And there's not something there for us. The closest that you can find that seems to be, as it were, spotless is Daniel. But do you understand When John saw the seven seals, not even Daniel was worthy to open those seals. The only one was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He prevailed. Hallelujah. I don't know what that does for you, but it, and I wish Daniel well, but it comforts me to know that these people were made out of the same mud you and I are. Fraught with the same fears, same problems, same dilemmas. Amen. They all had family. And not everybody that all had family in the Bible had fun with their family. Amen. Jesus warned, someday it's going to be, I'm telling you ahead of time, your enemies will come from your own house. That's the reason I tell people sometimes, that's why God gives you good friends. It's his way of apologizing for your family. And so they're all there. But she could read of those characteristics that became sublime for one reason only. They took God by the hand and in faith began to walk with Him. And by walking with Him, they walked onto the pages of Holy Scripture. And then they walked off into an eternity with Him. And she said, those are the kind of people I want to be aligned with. There needs to be something that rises up in our hearts that we read both the first and the second, the Old and the New Testaments, and we see these people that are a number that are placed before us, this cloud of witnesses, amen, and we see them and we understand that these people made out of our human frailty lived for God in their time and in their problems, and by the grace of God, He's raised us up in the 21st century. I'm here, and the writer of Hebrews said, so important is this New Testament church that they of the Old Testament cannot be made perfect without us. We read and learn of their lives. For the early church, that was the only Bible they had. Until the epistles begin to weave their way into the lives of God's people. And so they would read of them, those heroes of faith, drawing strength, consolation, help, hope, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. But the apostle said, all of their work, we are just as important to them as they were to us. They, without our lives and our steps and our, when eternity rolls around, we're going to look and see that everything God did in the First Testament, among other things, was in preparation to prepare, to make ready, to strengthen, to teach. It was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ so that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together everything in heaven and everything in earth for the likes of you and I. And as this dispensation is closing in, and as our society is going to Hades in a handbasket, there needs to be something that is rising up in the hearts of God's people that said, God, it's getting pretty dark out. If you ever shine, shine now. If this truth ever glowed, let it glow through me. If anybody ever saw hope in anybody, God, let it shine out of my heart. If truth was ever proclaimed, let it be proclaimed out of my lips now.
If you ever comforted anybody, helped anybody, healed anybody, now's the time and the place and the hour that you want to be God. I'm not just talking. I don't want to give myself to hyperbole again, if I may state.
I don't know when I've ever been more serious about any thing or theme since I began walking with God. Our hour has come and is going to be unfolding in the days to come, I believe, in greater way than we've ever imagined. Can I please tell you, if you ever prayed, start praying now. If you ever started walking in the waters to the ankles, to the knees, to the thighs, to the chest, now are those hours. Because I'm telling you, God wants a river and a current that we can't even swim through. So deep and so powerful. If it was ever fish catching time, it is this hour when God's people can stand on the banks and reel in hungry souls, heartbroken souls, broken souls, needy souls, hungry souls. I'm not just talking, I mean it from the depths of my soul. If you ever dived in, dive now. If you ever fell in love with your Bible, and don't forget it when you travel, fall in love now. If you ever swam those waters of Scripture from Saul to Samuel to David, on up through the kings, through the prophets, swim now. Get in the current now. The river's flowing. If you ever studied and fell in love with Jesus, His teachings, His love, His care, His concern, His truth, His proclamations, fall in love now! If the apostles' doctrine ever had a hold of you, let it go down, down, down into the depths of your soul. Amen. If you ever believed that God was the same yesterday, today, and forever, let it get deep inside of you now! Can I put it on this wise? God wants the people to step up to the edge of the stage of life. And say, for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. We're going to trust Him wholly. We're going to trust Him only. We're going to trust Him simply. We're going to trust Him now. We're going to trust Him forever. We're going to believe Him wholly. We're going to believe Him only. We're going to believe Him simply. We're going to believe Him now. And we're going to believe Him forever. We're going to see Him and His work wholly. We're going to see His work and its importance only. We're going to see it simply. We're going to see it now. And we're going to see it forever. I'm telling you, it's time to dive in the river. It's time to dive in the river. The promises and blessings that the Bible holds for us, we need to hold. That's my promise. It's as simple as that. Paul, who recognized his frailty, he said, I am the less than the least of all saints. I'm less than the least. But he also said, are they Israelites? Me too. Are they Hebrews? Me too. Are they sons of Abraham? Me too. Me too. Me too. Therefore, I can claim right to anything they can claim. And what's more, I can go beyond it. Hallelujah. When it comes
to the truths of the First Testament believers and what they laid hold of, and the first century Christians and what they possessed, they were pardoned.
Me too.
They were justified.
Me too.
They were accepted in the beloved.
Me too.
They were joyful at what God did.
Me too.
This is not deep. This is simple. We need to look at this and say, me too. Me too. Me too. God honored Abel's sacrifice.
Me too.
You've made sacrifices through the years. You learned a long time ago. If you need something, you start giving more. Guess what?
Me too.
Me too. Me too. Me too. Me too. He learned that God will honor him
just like he honored anybody else.
It's me too. Me too. Enoch was raptured out of his world.
Me too.
It's coming, Bubba. I don't know when and I don't know where, but I know how. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to rise to meet him in the air. Look out, Enoch, we're coming too. God commissioned Noah.
Me too, me too.
God called Abraham out.
Me too, me too.
God directed Eliezer to find a bride.
Me too, me too.
God was with Jacob in spite of his frailties.
Me too, me too.
God protected Joseph.
Me too, me too.
God heard Hannah's prayer. Tell me one thing about them he doesn't do for you. It's all there. God was with Samuel as a boy. How many of you can say me too, me too? God anointed David. Me too, me too. God loved Solomon. Me too, me too. God did miracles for Elijah. Me too, me too. God saw Jeremiah's tears. Me too, me too. God cleansed Isaiah's lips. Me too, me too. God comforted Ezekiel's sorrow. Me too, me too. God called Nathanael by name. Me too, me too. God healed Bartimaeus. Me too, me too. God called Simon Peter to be a fisher of men. Me too, me too. Simon Peter put his foot in his mouth.
Me too.
Simon Peter made mistakes. God forgave Simon Peter. Me too, me too. For those of you that think I'm going a long time, musicians come. I'm serious. God saved a wretch like Saul of Tarsus.
Me too, me too.
God saw that he was baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of his sins. Me too, me too. God gave him a friend named Barnabas. Has God ever given you a friend? Me too. Me too. Whatever the personal claim, God used him in the Holy Ghost, in spite of his infirmities. God gave him abilities. Does everybody stand? I'm not done, but I want everybody to stand. Do you understand there's so much in this Bible that we have experienced already? How many of you? Do you understand? On the day of Pentecost, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit of God gave the utterance. He commanded every one of them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of their sins. God helped them through trouble. when they were praying for Simon Peter and he was knocking on the door in answer to their prayer. And they couldn't even believe their prayers were what got the job done. The first church would get shocked when their prayers were answered. There's got to be something in us. We're made out of the same mud. We're baptized by the same name. We're filled with the same Spirit. We're called with the same holy calling. And they without us, they're not going to be made perfect. They were a first century church. There was a second century and a third. There's been a church all along the way. Somewhere, somebody's always getting baptized in Jesus' name. Somebody's always believing there is but one God. Somebody's always receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now we're in the 21st century. And God is looking down. He gave Simon Peter abilities that fishermen did not possess. He helped sons of thunder get on top of things. He helped doubting Thomases get the faith. Paul and Barnabas had a falling out over John Mark. Isn't it interesting? When Paul starts the church in Corinth, and then he's writing them back, and he says, I've got power to lead about a wife, as does Barnabas. What do they know about Barnabas? Barnabas didn't start that church, he did. They could have said, who's Barnabas? This wasn't the instant communication generation. You know how they knew about Barnabas? Because he'd talk about it. He'd brag on him. I'm going to tell you one thing we need to do in this 21st century. We need to handle difficulties the way they handle difficulties. Paul still knew he was on the same team with Barnabas. He knew how to brag on him. He knew how to lift him up. And he knew as he grew, the day came, he said, John Mark is as profitable to me as he was ever to Barnabas. Whatever your situation, I'm here to tell you, it's somewhere in the book. Brother I.H. Terry told me one time, he said, Larry Booker, if you live long enough and you pastor long enough, every single story in the Bible will be played out before your eyes. Thus far, totally true proverb. You know what I say to that? Me too. Me too. God gave them answers. Me too. Me too. God helped them in difficult situations. Me too. Me too. God kept them when they didn't know what they were doing. Me too. Me too. I'm not bragging. Paul told the Corinthian church, I'm less than the least of all saints. Literally. I'm not bragging. Many of these brethren here, same thing. And many of you out there. They saw the dead raised. Me too. Twice. One time a man was 91 years old. I got to the house, he was dead. I didn't know it. I come to pick him up for church. So I came to the door all shook up. I said, what happened? 91. She was 85. She said, well, we were having a fuss. And he got on to me and said, Edith! Why don't you stop your nagging?
And then he started shuddering. And he slumped over. I said, "Why didn't you call me?" She said, "Because you're so busy." And I said, "How long has he been like this?" She said, 30 minutes. His lips were blue. He was gray. His body was cold. There was no pulse. I put my head to his chest. Nothing. I licked my hand, put it under his nostrils. Nada. I said, "Have you called the ambulance?" "I just did." I prayed for a lady one time that was dead. I ushered everybody out of the room. And I prayed my heart out. Guess what? She was dead when I started and she was dead when I left. That ain't no fun, is it? And I had to walk out in the midst of those people and hug her son who was in my church and say, "I love you." And I drove away for an 8-day fast. And I said, "I will never again in my life try to raise anybody from the dead." And after 8 days, I felt the Lord speaking to me, "Don't be rash. Why don't you pray about the will of God first, like Simon Peter did with Dorcas?" It never dawned on me. He was kneeling and praying. She was raised. I think he was asking for the will of God. It's not the will of God to bring everybody back from heaven. Don't bring me back. Let me be. I'm serious. And so I said, "All right, God, what I'll do is that if ever arises, I'll just say the will of God be done." So a year later after that, I'm kneeling down to Brother Floyd. Brother Floyd got the Holy Ghost in 1910. He was baptized in Jesus' name in 1915. Him and Charlie Smith took the One God, Jesus' Name message to Elton Bible Conference in Elton, Louisiana, together in 1916. That started the Louisiana Revival of Oneness. I was sitting at his feet. I started to get up. And I knelt back down. And I looked up in that gray face and blue lips. I closed my eyes. I put my hands on his knees. And I said, "Jesus, he's 91. There's no problem with you taking him home. But if it's your will." Because see, I was taping him, getting the early days of Pentecostal history. I said, "If it's your will, can raise him back up." And when I started to move away, he went, and started breathing. And he opened his eyes, and his color came back. About that time, the ambulance come. When you're 91, that happens. They do take you. His doctor, Dr. Crosby, I talked to him the next morning. He said, "We don't know what happened. We do know that all of his vital signs were off for quite a while. We know that. We don't know what stopped him. And we don't know what started him. But said, you can take him home." I took him out to eat. He ate more than I did for lunch. That tells you how alive he was. God raised him from the dead. We had a lady die in our church in Arroyo Grande. Two of our saints were nurses. They said, and I said, "Saints, let's pray again." And I said, "Jesus,
if it's your will,
raise her from the dead. About the time the men from the ambulance come walking in the door, she opened her eye and said, Brother Booker, have I got something to tell you?
The first church saw people raised from the dead. The first church saw cancers healed. We're in the same ship. We got the same captain. We got the same book. We got the same spirit. The only difference is we got more souls to deal with. In a world that's darker than ever.
And God wants to raise. And He doesn't just... He wants people to say, I want to be the best Christian ever.
I want to look at these heroes and I want to say, God, I may not be much, but I've got an example.
And I've got the same God and the same promises. Okay. Anybody want to be used?
Got it inside your heart.
Something's beating that's saying, me too. Me too. I don't know what He's going to do. I don't know how He's going to do it. But count me in. I'm part of this body. If you're here tonight and you're not part of this body, I'm here to tell you this is the greatest night of your life. You can step out from where you are along with everybody else and say, me too. Me too.
I want it. I need it. I gotta have it.
Me too. And so, I'm opening up this altar area
for anybody and everybody
that's got something beating inside of you that's saying, God, me too. Me too. Me too. There's something hungry down inside of you that's saying, I'm diving into the waters.
I'm going deep.
But take your hands
every day.
It's going to be me too, me too, me too, me too, me too, me too, me too. Come on, sir. Come on, mama.
Come on, daddy.
Young person, listen to me.
God knows your name. God brought you here. I don't care who you are, what's your background, where you came from. God wants to use you tonight.